Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight up conversations with me, Moshe Popek. Each week I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people from all walks of life to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. This week's guest is career expert Joe Mullings. A recent report by Monster.com indicates a whopping 95% of workers are considering leaving their jobs. If you're in that category, Joe has expert advice on what to consider before submitting your resignation. And if you're an employer, Joe can help you keep your workforce happy. That and more next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popek. Now, here's Moshe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Moshe, how are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Beautiful studio.
Thank you so much. So tell us about the work you do at Mullings Group. Basically, where you provide hiring strategies for Google, Johnson & Johnson, major Fortune 100 companies.
So we've been at it for 30 years. We are the world's largest executive search firm. That's one of our businesses. And specifically, we're in the med tech, health tech industry. So all of the technologies that are making their way to saving and extending lives that have not quite gone through the FDA yet and are being backed by private equity and venture capital, we put those companies together and then bring them out to the market.
I want to ask you, is an article on Monster.com, they interviewed 649 U.S. workers, where 95% of those people interviewed are thinking about quitting their job. Mm. What do you think about that?
You know, it's been referred to as the Great Resignation, right? That's what the press is putting on that, mainstream press is putting it. And it would be interesting to know, of those 695, what their current career trajectories were in the first place. Were they hourly workers? Were they gig economy workers? Were they lawyers? Were they, you know, accountants? But what we have seen, and this is based on thousands of conversations we've had since March of 2020, is that you've got a category of people who were in a career that they weren't happy in the first place, and they had a chance to put it on pause and had the opportunity to be home with their loved ones or home by themselves, but do deep thinking and think, is this where we wanted to go? So that's one category. Another category was, unfortunately, because this is the way things roll, is the female in the relationship had to give up her career and go home and take care of the family and take care of everything around them. They are now re-entering the workforce going, hold on a second, it's my time now. Now I'm going to go where I want to go. And then, you know, the third category is some people took an upskilling opportunity during this time and looked at the landscape and said, okay, these job categories are disappearing and I don't want to go back to that. I did that 18 months ago. And now that there are new categories being created, and then there are categories that clearly they're dead, but nobody's decided where to bury them yet. And those people are upskilling and deciding, I need to switch out of this and go into something else. That's what we're seeing.
You think a lot of that kind of introspection is due to COVID?
I think COVID was the catalyst. I think the introspection has been coming for generations.
Right.
So you can't blame COVID for that. You can blame the break in the workday for people to have that introspection. And so you could call COVID on a sublime side a blessing, in my opinion, for some people's lives.
Yeah, I know, I remember reading this kind of like 85%, even before COVID, 85% of workers were not happy working, doing what they were doing.
To me, happy is a weak word, right? Happy is fleeting. Like fulfilling is maybe a word that I like to always test against happy. And fulfillment is because the workers now, Moshe, are now in charge of the insane asylum, and they never have been before. The employer has.
Yes.
And this is the very first time in the history of labor that the worker is in charge, and they should not give back the power. Now, having said that, they've got to respect and not hold hostage the employer or the organization, because then if they're trying to prove a point and then your organization goes under, then you've got a different supply-demand challenge. But right now, the worker has more power than he or she will ever have. And I think it allows us to rethink how does the world of work look moving forward?
I see that also in the tech space as well. I see a lot of these young 20-year-olds, and they're just coming into abundance and skipping many steps. I guess they say taking on the suits. So we are in a different time. And I love that. I'm a big fan of freedom. So I love seeing people being empowered. You know, and I also, on my own side, we run a real estate company. We have properties in 6 states. And March of 2020, COVID came. They made a law that we cannot evict anybody. And it was really a tough time for my wife and I. We run the business together. We have about 400 employees. And I had to come to a point where some landlords were posting signs, you know, we don't care that you have COVID or we're dealing with COVID. The first of the month, you owe the rent. So I brought my employees and I told them, I said, listen, I got to be counterintuitive here and I got to do what's right. And it was really, really tough. For years, we spent building up this company. And I said, here we are. What is the issue? The issue is that people are losing their jobs, do not have jobs. So I said, what we're going to do is we're going to become an employment agency. We're going to help the tenants find jobs. And also, I'm not going to lay off any of my employees. We're keeping everybody. We're going to work harder and smarter. So now, months later, my employees, I believe the feedback that I'm getting, have expressed to me tremendous gratitude. I've keeping them. I haven't lowered any salaries. So they're happy. The tenants are grateful that I kept them, you know, that I helped them out find jobs. And it was very lucky because when you're up against the pressure, you don't know what decision to make because you're responsible for everybody and you could end up making the wrong decision and going bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as I listen to that story, and it's a very noble one as well, not many people would have the courage to make that decision. So what I think of when I hear that is you thought about longitudinally the consequences of a short-term decision. I don't think that is evaluated enough. That ran a risk because there was no sense on where the horizon was. So my instincts tell me that you would have figured out an alternative path and, you know, zigged and zagged because it's not a straight line. That's just life. Like people are like, the road is bumpy. I'm like, no, dude, that's just the road. Right. So that problem solving, that understanding of consequences, that we're all in this together. We're all in the same storm together. We're just in different boats. You happen to be in a boat that was able to make decisions that others were not fortunate enough to make. And that's a responsibility that success has with it.
Yes. I keep saying that the power is in the people. I always look to surround myself around people that are smarter than me, strengths and weaknesses. So I kind of know myself. And I love being around people that are honest with their vulnerabilities, complete transparency and authenticity. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like you're saying, more than ever before, the power is in the employee. What advice would you say to any employee now that's looking to possibly quit their job?
Well, it's always easier to look for a job when you have one. So that's one. So there's a couple bullet points here. That's one. The other is, are you just in a job or is there a career? Because the management of that activity is different. If you're architecting a career, those choices and those discussions you must have with those and those around you are dynamically different if you're just looking to go as a job transaction to a job. I'm not saying either one is better, but they're different decision points. But for both is look for a job when you have a job. Because if you don't have a job or you quit a job and you go to look for one, the worst thing you can do is make a decision out of desperation. And romantically, everybody says you can get a job right now and get 4 offers. That's somewhat true. But what if you don't get the right one, and then you're going to make a desperate decision and be back in that same, you know, sort of mousetrap and move from one to another? Then you'll get judged. Everybody's getting one pass over switching jobs twice in an 18-month period on their CV, on their resume.
What would you say is the kind of the top considerations for an employee to consider when they're looking for a job?
Yeah, so the four pillars we talk about. Yeah. The four pillars are market, product, leadership, and mission. So let me give you a quick on those. If you're looking at a new job or a new career, look at the market. Forget about the company you're working for or the product in that market. Does that market have success written on it? Is it an emerging market on the way up, or is it flat and descending, right? So independent of the product, because you're about to enter into a market and make a decision, 5 years is the minimum that you have to look at that. So what are your triggers on that? Is there venture capital investing in it? Is there private equity investing in it? Is SPAC money being thrown at it, right? Is there aggressive investment being put into that market? Okay, so if you've answered that, now you look at the company product or service that it makes or provides. So what is that product or service that maps to the emerging market? So that's number two. Number three is maybe the most important. Who are you going to work with every day? Our parents were right. Careful who you hang out with, because that's who you'll become.
Sure.
Right? But it also sets up your network, your future network, because you get to impress people who will move on and say, remember that Moshe guy? Let's find him for my next role, right? And then finally, mission is, we talked earlier about happiness and fulfillment. When you pull into the parking lot, you're either going to make something or do something, or you're going to change the world. And so ideally, it's great if you can score a 10 out of 10 on all those. But what you need to do is you need to be able to answer critically those four questions with a level of satisfaction. If there's a major gap in any of those, it's highly likely there's going to be an internal dissonance sooner than later.
Sure. And then from moving forward, kind of from the employer's perspective, what can they do to make, you know, to make their employees happy?
Mm-hmm. So the message I always share with all of my partners, employers, and I've worked with thousands over the years, and some of the biggest names in industry, and some of the smallest names in industry that are some of the biggest names now, is you've got to be able to sit across the table from that individual and show them who they might become when they come to work at your company. This, you need to find out, who do you want to be? If I'm interviewing somebody, I'm like, who do you want to be? And then what I want to do is be able to show you with evidence and opportunity on how you might be able to become the person that you know. The universe whispered in your ear one day, right? And sure, we were talked out of it. We were talked out of it over our dinner table, some of us, by our aunts or uncles, by our guidance counselor. The universe whispered in your ear one day. And you know who you could be. Stop talking yourself out of it. And then once an employer can explain how they might become or be set on a journey for the next 4 years as we work together, that you can go ahead and start to layer that on top in your journey to whoever you want to be. The employers that crack that with intention and honesty, yes, end up having the best people come into their company, retain them for the longest time, and those people never show up at work. They show up to create something new and change the world. That is the number one thing. Be able to answer in an interview, who will I become when I work for you?
That's really, I love that, because I always tell my wife, if I had the greatest dream for my children, I have 9 children, is setting them up to figure out who they are. It's not about me. It happens to be the universe blessed us with these children, but they're not me or my wife. They are their own entity, right? Independent. So if they can figure out, and this is hard, many adults, many people don't know who they are. It's that lifelong journey. Like you're saying, whisper, what the universe whispered in your ear. So if they can figure out who they are, and we can foster them, help them, not no influence of us, but and do what they love in action, that would be amazing. So I do see, even in my own company, where my business, I try congruently to treat my employees as family.
Mm-hmm.
up or down, right, left. We're having the honest conversations.
And that's the right thing to do. Too many times parents live vicariously through their children because they chose to do what somebody else told them, right? So I'll give you a quick story. My son's going to university. He's in his second year. Very smart young man. And as usual, when you're 19, 20, you come up with crazy ideas.
Sure.
And so he came home and he said, I think I want to open up a restaurant. We have a home in Telluride, Colorado. And he said, I want to open up a restaurant. My wife said, okay. Well, what's it about? Well, we want to sell CBD-infused food, right? Right. So her first reaction, my first reaction is fun, but what? So we had to stand back for a second. We said, great, got it. Do me a favor. We can finance it, or we can find somebody who can finance it, but only if you can come to me with a business plan, all the licenses, tell me what the menu is going to be, and then manage a food cart on the streets of Telluride for 1 year. So that's allowing the child to pursue their dream, but make sure it's not a whim, right? And that's the balance. Otherwise, you can end up with an undisciplined child because you said, well, I'm going to let you become who you want to become. Correct. We have a responsibility as a parent to know that the world knows it owes you nothing.
Yes.
And so it's testing the sincerity and commitment of the child without just saying, go be you.
So it's interesting with my 15-year-old and 13-year-old boys, I just wanted to start them. We helped finance a vending machine. And I wanted to see you talk about that discipline, right? Here you are. I always think about business as either two things. It's either a service or a widget. You're doing one of the two. And it's all just people. It's people doing things. And to that commitment, are you going to go to Costco? Are you going to pick up the items? Are you going to fill the vending machine? I don't, you know, they're like, oh, we're only making $20 a week. I just said it doesn't matter. That discipline, I want to see, do you have what it takes to show up every single day with intention?
That's right. Yeah. Show up every day with a plan, with intention, outcomes, and what we look for. You know, discipline is the word we use a lot, but maybe more importantly, and you'll understand this very deeply, I know that, is are you able to consciously sacrifice? Yes. Sacrifice going to play basketball with your friends versus go over and service the machine. Sacrifice sleeping in when you know on Saturday morning you need to be first at Costco because you might have been able to turn that machine twice on a weekend because you knew where it was. So discipline is very important.
Yes.
Having said that, sacrifice aligned with discipline, I think, is the superpower.
So I appreciate that. And I know you also host and produce True Future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so True Future, I'm super proud of that. We just won 3 Telly Awards for the series, our season that we spent in Israel. So the best way for me to keep this podcast within the time limits is think of Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain, where he traveled the world, people, places, things under the guise of exploring food. We travel the world, people, places, things, culture, challenges under the guise of technology. And we meet amazing people. We tell stories that the public would not have seen if not but for. It's a world-class production team that have come from movies, cinema, TV, reality shows. They all went to the four pillars: market, product, service, leadership, mission. And we've done 4 seasons so far. You can find us on truefuture.tv. And it's one of the things I'm most proud of that we've accomplished.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. It's really amazing. And then if people want to reach out to you professionally, how can they do that?
Sure. So you can go to joemullings.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, which is my biggest platform because of, you know, my career. Under Joe Mullings, I am pretty good at answering every single email that comes in. My chief of staff is here with me. She can attest to that. She yells at me all the time. She says, why are you answering all these emails? So listen, I've been given a great opportunity and a great platform, and it's called social media because it's meant to be interactive, not one way.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. And I want to say thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for what you do. And thank you for joining the show.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator Podcast.
Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.